Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. My name is Emily Kwong. I'm stepping in for Peter to bring you a special interview that was recorded on May 27th with two folks, Barrett Wilbur of Sitka and Reed Magdance of Kotzebue. He's headed back to Kotzebue soon, so we wanted to get him while he was in town. How are you both doing this morning?
Great. Thanks, okay. Emily.
Thanks for coming on the program. And you're here to talk about a pretty extraordinary trip you just took. For 12 days, you crossed Admiralty Island on foot with a canoe, using a 32-mile route mapped out by the Forest Service, filled with streams, trail portages, and cabins. What made you want to take this journey? What were you doing right before you decided to go?
We were working in the 29th session of the Alaska State Legislature as legislative aides for Jonathan Christ Tompkins over in Juneau.
And how did you decide that you needed to leave your desks and cross Admiralty Island?
I'm not sure if we ever put it exactly like that to ourselves, but I think Reed was the impetus for taking the trip.
I wanted to do something outdoors in May in Southeast when it's been really beautiful the last 2 years.
And I'm a sucker for outdoor stuff, especially in Southeast. And after 4 months of, 10 to 14 hour days at our small cave of an office, I think we were both ready to get outside.
So you're in the canoe and you're literally paddling yourself away from the legislature in Juneau. How did that feel?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the greatest because the morning we decided to leave, it was really windy and raining in Juneau and the tide was coming into Gastineau Channel. And so we started paddling a bit and we maybe paddled an hour. And it was cold, and you're like at that point where you don't quite know how many layers you need for that weather because you're just starting your trip. And then we paddle a ways, and then we realize we're barely moving.
Reed is distinctly underselling this experience. We were miserable. There were waves, there was wind. It was like pounding rain into our faces. It was terrible. We pulled over our canoe. We almost flipped the canoe.
Within sight of the legislature.
Yeah, it was like we could have walked to the island pub for lunch at this point. And this is like the worst part of the trip was an hour from leaving the dock. We had to pull over and stop for 2 hours to wait for the tide to change. And we built the world's tiniest fire on Douglas Island. And
looking across at the end of the road on the Thames side.
Yeah, and significantly doubting whether we had made the right decision to leave.
What made you guys decide to press on anyway? You could have turned around.
We're not that kind of people. We could not have turned around.
I had not appreciated how large of a factor the tide was going to be in Gastineau. I knew it was a factor in other spots, and so we just had to wait until the tide stopped flowing in, and then it was no problem.
How did you guys eat during your journey? What did you make?
Barrett's a really good cook.
I don't think I deserve all the credit. We were down to one package of cream cheese and one egg, and from those two ingredients, Reed managed to make a cheesecake from scratch using a melted chocolate bar.
So impressive.
And ground pecans from our oatmeal bag that he cooked on the wood stove in a improvised double burner he made using two of his
MSR nesting pots. It works, guys.
How was it?
It was delicious. I was shocked.
Well, we also had eggs and bagels and English muffins, and Barrett made breakfast sandwiches a couple times. We had some onions and peppers with us, so those were standard additions to the burritos and the pastas and most of our meals. And
we cooked bacon on the wood stove outside, which was great.
We had probably half a pound of bacon with us.
I brought my AeroPress on the trip, which is like a little fancy coffee maker. I don't know.
So you guys didn't skimp on these creature comforts while you were on these 2 weeks.
Definitely a plus of a canoe trip.
The other thing I was going to ask you is, like, what's the most impressive thing you guys did? But making a cheesecake on an improvised double burner. But if you had any, like, thing to brag about.
The morning before the cheesecake, Barrett made hollandaise sauce.
That would not be my statement of where I felt like a hero. But I would also say that Reed should feel like a hero, was carrying a canoe on his shoulder for 3 miles. Like, we had never portaged a canoe before this trip.
Yeah.
And we were trying to compare it to, like, hiking distances. And it's like, oh, like, 1 mile, 2 miles. We can do that, no problem. But it turns out that carrying a canoe on your back for 3 miles is a very, very different operation than just hiking for 3 miles.
Yeah, don't ever try portaging on anything that you don't think is a ridiculously easy hike without a canoe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think basically when we got done with every portage, we had to do all the portages twice to bring our canoe over and then bring all our stuff over. And I mean, a 3 mile portage turns into a 9 mile portage, basically. And that last portage, when we got out of the woods finally, the sun was just setting and Mitchell Bay was lit up with all these wildflowers, and the water was just like pink and gold. And we both just turned to each other and were kind of like, how was this waiting for us the whole time that we were doing like this miserable slog with our canoe? And I think at that point, even though it had very little to do with us, but we both felt like, oh, this was all worth it. Like, we crossed this whole island and we got there at this like most beautiful moment.
So you two went from having a very intense, you know, desk job, working within the confines of this building. Maybe you stepped out for lunch. Maybe you never saw the light
sometimes
of day.
more the second one.
Totally engrossed in nature. And I'm wondering what that was like for you guys as individuals and also as two people who know each other really well.
It didn't feel too strange to me getting out in the woods. I think it. When I was growing up, we had a cabin about 150 miles from Kotzebue, and we'd go up there every spring right after school got out. So for me, it was kind of like this is what I try to do every spring. I'm transitioning from one phase of life to another. And I think one of the things that's noticeable is that you sit around in a legislature and you spend like so much time reading the news and keeping up on what's going on, and like everything seems so important. But as soon as you like get outside, like, never crosses your mind hardly like what's happening in the world, and your focus just completely shifts into, hey, I'm gonna make food and paddle and stay warm, and that's always kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of the perspective shift that happens without you. It's a thing you don't plan for or necessarily anticipate. I mean, we planned for this trip in such a hectic last-minute way. I mean, we literally bought 2 weeks' worth of food in the 1 hour that the grocery store was open, like the day and a half before we left. And then suddenly, you know, it was just such a crush to get out on the water, and suddenly we're there, and it was like, okay, well, now we can't listen to the radio. We have no idea what's happening in the legislature. We just have no connection to what's going on. And that was really nice after 4 months of kind of the goal being to be as informed and accessible at all times. It was so nice to just be in a place where nobody ever tried to talk to you.
Except your companion. Guy in the back of the canoe.
One thing you were saying, which is about this difference between being a incredibly informed person and a very unplugged person. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts as to whether that is good for people.
It's, for me, I know it's really healthy and important. I think it's nice to basically just be able to shed a lot of the layers of social life. And especially in the legislature, you spend a lot of time kind of presenting yourself in a certain way because it works to your advantage, and you're trying to be as respectful and as smart and as helpful as possible all the time, and that is great. But it's really nice to get out into the woods to feel like you don't have to really try to be anything. You don't have to try to act a certain way. You can just absorb what's happening to you, and you fuse kind of with your environment in a way that you don't when you're walking on sidewalks and when you're looking at stuff that's kind of designed for humans to interact with.
Yeah.
And I would say it's not, for me, what I find most important to my mental and physical health is not so much the like complete unplug that I have to be outdoors and away from everything, but that having opportunities to, in one way or another, break away from what you're doing on a day-to-day basis and have an opportunity to let your mind wander in different directions is really important to me. I think when we got back to Sitka, actually, after this trip, Barrett and I went to work on some stuff at the library here, and I just started smiling to myself all of a sudden. I looked over at Barrett and I said, it's unbelievable to be thinking about something different. Like, my mind is like going over ideas and topics that it just like hasn't had the space to do for 4 months. And for me, that's really important.
And it was fun too. I mean, we've known each other for about 2 years. We've been friends and coworkers pretty much that whole time. And it was funny. I think when we got out, we both kind of made the comment to each other that we both seemed different. Like we saw a new side of each other that we'd never seen before. And Reed was like, "Who are you? You're so goofy right now. Like you're like a kid." And so I think
this is when she was playing with seashells on the beach.
Yeah, it was fun to kind of get the opportunity to like go back into these, like, I think especially for us, these basically like our little kid selves when we were just like our parents would take us out and we wouldn't have to worry about anything and we wouldn't be in charge of anything. And I know that's like something I associate very much with childhood, and it was really fun to be able to just kind of go out and do it. But while also like trying to avoid bears and stay alive and all that kind of stuff. But
it's been so fun to talk to you both. Thank you so much for coming in to share these stories. And I hope that those of you listening, if you want to just vicariously experience this trip and see some visuals to some of the things that Reed and Barrett have been talking about, you can visit Barrett's website, barrettwilbur.com. Thank you so much for coming in. And it was good to see you both.